Well, somebody mentioned the fact I haven't told any jokes this week. So hang on and give me a courtesy laugh if you don't mind. School's just about to get back in session, I hope, I think. And it's going to be weird, but I think they're going to let the kids go back. This is called the Little Golden Books That Never Made. How many remember the Little Golden Books? Little Golden Books That Never Made It. Number one, the Little Golden Book entitled You're Different, and that's bad. That book never made it. And let's see here. Curious George and the High Voltage Fence. That book never made it. Little Golden Books That Never Made It. Let's see. Whining, Kicking, and Crying to Get Your Way. That one never made it. Little Golden Books That Never Made It. Your Nightmares Are Real. That one didn't make it. Here's one. Little Golden Books That Never Made It. Why Can't Mr. Fork and Mrs. Electrical Outlet Be Friends? And here's the last one here. Pop Goes the Hamster and Other Exciting Microwavable Games. That one didn't make it either. And here's my political joke. I've tried not to be political this week, but it's just hard not to be. Hercules, Snow White, and Hunchback of Notre Dame were talking, and Hercules said, I'm the strongest man in the world. Snow White said, I'm the most beautiful in the world. Hunchback of Notre Dame said, I'm the ugliest in the world. Sitting around the table talking, they wanted God to verify their findings, and so God said, yep, Hercules, you are the strongest man in the world. Snow White, yes, you are the most beautiful in the world. Hunchback of Notre Dame, who is this Nancy Pelosi? Oops. This one's called Dr. Geezer versus Dr. Young. I hope I can remember the details here. Dr. Geezer put a big billboard up, said he could heal anything, and it would be from $500 to $1,000. So Dr. Young, a young fella, came by and he wanted to contest him. So he tried to put him on the spot because he knew this guy wasn't a doctor. So he walked into Dr. Geezer and said, hey, Dr. Geezer, it's my taste. He said, I've lost my taste. He said, just a minute. He told his nurse, get box 22 and put 3 drops on his tongue. It was gasoline. And Dr. Young says, oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. What in the world? He said, well, you got your taste back. So he got mad about that when he wanted to get his money back somehow, some way. So he came back another time. He said, Dr. Geezer, it's my memory. It's my memory. He says, I can't remember hardly anything. But he said, don't give me gasoline. He said, $500. You got your memory back. So now he's lost $1,000. So he's really working hard at trying to figure out how to get his money back. So he came in one more time and he said, Dr. Geezer, it's my eyesight. He said, I can't hardly see hardly anymore. He said, well, I don't have any medicine for your eyes. But he said, I'll tell you what. He told the nurse to go over there and write a check out. And he held it up and it wrote $10. He said, well, I'm due $1,000 back. This is $10. He goes, give it back. He said, you got your eyesight back. And let's see. School's coming back again. A little fellow went to school, and the teacher asked the crowd, the audience, he asked the audience, what is your most favorite animal in the world? A little boy raised his hand and said, fried chicken. The class laughed at him, and he got kind of in trouble, and she said, don't do that again. I'll send you down to the principal's office. He went home, told his mom and dad, said, I'm always getting in trouble at school, but I don't mean to. And so the daddy said, oh, don't worry about your teacher. She's probably a member of PETA or something like that. So the next day he went to school and he said, now you behave yourself. And he said, okay, Dad. And the teacher asked it this way this time, what's your favorite live animal? Little boy raised his hand and said, fried chicken. She said, chicken, he said. And he said, well, you're not supposed to say that. Why'd you say that for? He said, because you can fry it. So he got sent down to the principal's office, and so the principal said, man, your teacher's mad at you. You keep disturbing the class. And he said, you got to go home. I got to expel you for it. He said, can I borrow your phone? He said, go ahead. So he called his mom and said, hey, Mom, I've been expelled for making the class laugh too much. He said, while you're at it, while you're coming to get me, will you bring a bucket of Colonel Sanders? That boy must have been a Baptist preacher's son. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Get your Bibles if you will. Thanks for laughing. I appreciate it. Go to the book of Philippians, and if you can stand with me, please do that. So let's see. Monday night, I had a little theme going on. Anybody remember what that was? The secret of your heart. Always honor that secret God puts in your heart and honor the Lord. What was the little theme of the second night? The sound. Always listen to the sound as if it were maybe the Holy Spirit and moving in your heart, in your life. And what was another theme of the third night? What is it? Follow that man. In other words, follow the Savior. And then last night, what was it? All right, the covenant of salt. Tonight, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. We can't have church unless we talk about Jesus coming, right? And go, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 4. And I'll read one verse, Philippians chapter 4, so many good verses. You could preach from 25 verses here. I mean, major topics, major doctrines of our faith, and so many wonderful, great things in this chapter. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. In verse 18, I have all and abound and am full, and just on and on. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. But look at verse number 5. Let your moderation, if you'll circle that word moderation and write down a definition of restraint. Restraint. Let your restraint, notice what it says, be known unto how many men? All men. In other words, you got to bear testimony and let folks know that that you belong to the Lord. But what's that last phrase in verse 5? The Lord is at hand. Say it with me. The Lord is at hand. How many of you believe the Lord is at hand? I do. And I want to preach on that subject tonight of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to preach in the imminent return. But I believe that means the next event on God's calendar. But I preach now in the soon return. Amen. I believe, my friend, that he could come just any time. There's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled that I can find. Nothing Jesus had doesn't have to be any more prepared than right now to come. And so thank the Lord, my friend. All that Jesus said, he has shown us in the Word of God prophetically, and we're ready. We're ready. We're ready for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Amen. And so you, Dr. Les Roloff used to say, if Jesus comes while I'm in church, I'm going to straddle a steeple all the way to glory. Amen. He said, I'm not going to be a fizzle on a launching pad. And me neither. Amen. I'm going up. I'm going up. And I hope that you make sure your last trip is up. So I'm going to preach tonight on the Lord is at hand. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless now. Use, I pray, this topic of Jesus coming, your return. And Lord, there's a culmination to our faith. And that is when you come again. Lord, when all of this has come, Lord, where the period is put at the end of the book and the chapter and the sentence. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to be faithful until you come again, until we have been drawn to your side. Lord, help us to keep looking up because you're soon to appear. Bless us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We need to live in the light of our blessed Lord's return. We ought to think about what John the Revelator said in the book of Revelation. He said, you really can't even be right with the Lord. You really can't even be close to the Lord unless you're looking for him to come again. Unless you're looking and longing for his return. I believe the Lord is soon to appear. Soon to come. Christ led his disciples to the Mount of Olives. There he gave the apostles' commission to them. And he told them to be witnesses. And as soon as he gave the commission, the great commission, he began to rise. Off the earth. It's a true story. His disciples watched him as he levitated, as he began to take off, and as he began to rise into the sky. And as the disciples were gazing at him, and at his disciples, two men appeared unto the disciples and said, Why stand you here gazing, ye men of Galilee, into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner that you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, thank the Lord, I'm ready for Jesus to come again. And the disciples experienced him going away. After he had left, after this, they returned to Jerusalem, these disciples, and they began a prayer service that lasted 10 days. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got so on fire for the Lord? I believe I'd pray too if I saw Jesus in my presence, amen, and then see him going to heaven. And thank the Lord, he made many promises. One of the promises he said has not happened yet. This is that promise. The promise of his return. And he said, I'll come for you, I'll live for you, I'll die for you, and he did. And he went away, but he said, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, these disciples were all in one place, in one accord, and the Holy Ghost came upon them in power, the Bible said, and they began to witness about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And they begin to talk about the gospel, and we still preach it today. We still believe it today. That's how we get saved, is through the gospel. There are no two ways to be saved, only one. And that's through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for us at Calvary and how he rose again. But just like he said he would die for us, he's coming again. He's coming again. The Bible gave witness and testified of these men, how they had thousands of people saved, and they remained faithful to witness. They never forgot the promise of his coming, even through sorrow, even through suffering, even through persecution. They just kept on preaching about the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and they kept on preaching about the promise of his return. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not over yet. There's still the promise of his return. I want to ask you a question. Are we foolish to look for Christ's return? Are we foolish to talk about the rapture? Are we foolish to live our whole life as the apostles did? Did God lie? Is he coming? Has he forgotten? Or are we in for the greatest disappointment the world has ever known? I believe with all my heart, if Jesus would have only said it one time, I would have believed him. He is coming again. But he didn't just say it one time. If Christ doesn't return, then this Bible that you hold in your hand tonight is not right. It's not true. The Bible, in every book of the Bible, except with maybe two books of the Bible, he mentions his return. His return. I believe the Bible. If Jesus does not return, then the Savior himself is false. But Jesus said, I will come again. If Jesus does not return, then our fondest memories and our fondest dreams and our fondest hopes of men would be crushed. The Bible said, if he didn't come, there'd be no world peace. If he doesn't come, there'd be no justice or equality. But because he said he is coming, one of these days we'll live a life of no more sin. Amen. No more sin. Satan will be cast down forever. The Bible said there'll be no more pain when he comes. No more death. No more suffering. Thank the Lord for that. The Bible said one of these days we'll be caught up together to meet Jesus in the clouds. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. If not, we'll never see our loved ones that have gone before. If he doesn't come again, we'll never see Jesus. I have to believe that book, don't you? We have to tell the Lord that we believe that he's coming. We believe that he's coming. Then one of these days, my friend, the Bible said we will be caught up. It's called the rapture. We'll meet him in the air. See, Calvary was our judgment of our sin. One day the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ, will judge us of our works. And then we're going to leapfrog from the tribulation And while we're going to that judgment up in heaven, a reward service, amen, a rewards time, and I hope you have rewards to lay at Jesus' feet. Some will have thimbles full. Some will have wheelbarrows full, but that's why the preacher preaches like he does. That's why your pastor preaches like he does, for you to be faithful, because every crown counts. And you'll get to lay them at Jesus' feet someday. Amen. Every jewel and precious stone counts to lay before Jesus Christ someday. But while there's a reward going on up there, there's a tribulation going on down here. Judgment of all the nations, the whole world of nations. And Revelation 13 and Revelation 19 mentions an unholy trinity. Called them the false prophet and the beast and the dragon. They'll be in control down here. While we're up there, they'll be in control down here. Who is this false prophet? We don't know his name, but we know he'll be a man. He'll be a dictator. He'll exercise power of the Antichrist and cause the world to worship the beast. He'll perform great wonders and bring down fire from heaven in the sight of men. The Bible said he'll deceive men by means of miracles. The Bible said that this false prophet will cause men to make he caused men to make an image of a beast or the beast and give it life and destroy all those who do not worship him. You don't worship, you die. You starve to death. That's what the Bible says. So that's the false prophet. Who is the beast? The beast is the Antichrist himself. The Bible said he's the man of great power and authority, a personal agent of Satan. He's a man of sin, the son of perdition. Some believe it's a Judas reincarnated because he was mentioned as the son of perdition. I don't know that to be true. Nobody does. But the Bible calls him a prince that shall come. He will abolish personal liberty. He will abolish free speech. He will abolish freedom of the press. He will abolish the right to assembly. Kind of sounds like modern day prophecy, doesn't it? He will reject God's authority. He will persecute the Jews. He'll be energized by Satan himself. Satan will give him power of signs and wonders and miracles. He'll be against all that is called God. He'll be against even heathen gods, gods with a little g. We serve the God with a capital G, man. He'll tread all religions under his feet, the Bible said, and he'll prove himself to be God. And he'll be the only worship of man. And then he'll sit in the temple of God, proving himself to be as God. And you'll find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. And for a time, he will rule the world. He'll rule the entire world. So we learned about the false prophet. We learned about the beast. But who is this dragon? Go to Revelation chapter 20. Mark your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. I want to show you these things so you can mark them in your Bible. You may not believe me, but you'll have to believe the Word of God. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1. We're talking about the dragon. The Bible said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and the great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on what? The dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound them 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Threw him into hell for 1,000 years. I like verse number 10. Look down at verse number 10. I love verse number 10. The Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the what? Beast and who? False prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Amen. So all three of this unholy trinity is going to go to hell. Amen. God's going to throw them into hell. But for a while, they're going to be right here on earth for about 7 years' time. We're going to leapfrog from this terrible tribulation time if we've been saved. thank God, if you've been saved, you won't step one foot inside the tribulation period. Not one. Because Calvary was our judgment. Calvary judged our sin. The church has been judged by Calvary. And one of these days, my friend, if you've been saved, the redeemed bride of Christ is going to get out of here. Amen. That's right. I'll race you to the gate. Amen. That's right. Make the world's largest broad jump. One step here, next step in glory. Then during this millennial age, stay with me now. In this millennial age, war will be ended. Won't that be great? The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. The curse that was given in Genesis chapter 3 will be removed from the earth. Saints will rule and reign with Christ. Who knows? Your pastor may be the mayor of this city during the millennial age. Amen. You just never know. God's going to place those who've been faithful in charge during that time. The reign of Jesus on earth will be worldwide. By the way, how many have been to Israel? Well, one of these days you're going to get to make your pilgrimage every year, once a year, for 1,000 years. How you like that? We're all going to go over there together just to praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've already got me a fishing place on the Jordan River all picked out. Amen. That's right. Amen. The 1,000-year millennial is where the devil is chained. And then he's released after that 1,000 years. He's released for a little season. The Bible said he'll transform himself as an angel of light to deceive the people. And the people that were born in the millennium, there'll be still people born during the millennial age. And the people that are born in the millennium will be deceived. They'll go against the beloved city. They'll be devoured by fire from God out of heaven. And Satan's reward, as we read a while ago, will be hell itself. He's in a losing battle. And you or I, if we're not saved, would be in that same losing battle. But I want to make something very clear right now. The devil is not in hell right now. Did you hear what I just said? We like to think he's in hell. He can't bother us. The devil's not in hell. He's alive. He's on earth. He's like a lion lurking around seeking whom he may devour. And he'll destroy you, chew you up, spit you out, throw you out on the street. And he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care if you're saved. He'll destroy you. He can't get you to hell. Amen. If you've been saved. But he'll destroy you. And then the Bible said the great white throne judgment. I call it the final judgment. What's the worst thing about the great white throne judgment? There's no pardon. There's no plea. There's no parole. You can't escape it. You're going to stand before the Lord if you're lost. Amen. Thank God our name's in the book. Amen. That's right. We have no worries about that judgment. But the Bible said that at the end of that great white throne judgment, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Are you listening? Go to chapter 21 of Revelation. And I saw a what? Verse 1. A new heaven and a what? A new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. Passed away. What's the last word in chapter 20 and verse 15? Fire. In the first verse of chapter 21, it's not hell. It's not hell there, is it? What is it? New heaven and new earth. You'll never find hell mentioned again after the last verse in verse 15. Because it's done. You've escaped it. You won't go there anymore. Amen. Revelation 21 and verse 8 talks about it though. And thank God, my friend, that we're not going to have to go where all of those neighbors are. The Bible said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible said, which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want my neighbor to be a murderer. Amen. Or a whoremonger or a sorcerer or an idolater. But how many lies would it take you to be a liar? Just one. How many lies would it take you to condemn you to hell if you lost just one? It didn't take a big sin. It just takes a sin to send you to hell. Just one. You say, that's not fair. Well, it's not fair for you to reject the Lord. He gave you grace if you'll take it. He'll give you mercy if you'll trust Him. And one day the old earth and the old heaven will pass away, and all that was a part of the devil will pass away and go to a place called hell. Not the heaven and earth, but the people that were in it. And like Genesis, I want you to hold your finger here in Revelation, and I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 65. Still with me? Say amen. I want to show you something pretty exciting in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. I want you to see this. We think that the new heaven and new earth was just found in Revelation. But Isaiah 65, look please in verse number 17. The Bible said, for behold, Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create what? New heavens and a new earth. The Bible said, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Well, that's not the only time. Go to chapter 66. Chapter 66. Still with me? Say amen. Look please in verse 22. The Bible said, for as the what? New heavens and what? The new earth which I will make shall remain before me. Now listen to me. Just as sure as you're sitting here, God's preparing a place for us. And one day we're going to have that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what the Bible said. And we're going to see that new place. It's called Holy Jerusalem. Go back to Revelation 21 and you'll see. We're going to see a couple more verses in Revelation here. In Revelation 21, please, in verse number 9, in verse number 10, he calls it Holy Jerusalem. You study this Holy Jerusalem, and he said it's a place of no sin, a place of no curse, a place of no sorrow, a place of no pain, a place of no separation, a place of no darkness, a place of no death, and we could keep going. What a place that's going to be. What a wonderful place. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen. What a wonderful time it's going to be. I want you to see one more thing, if you will, please. I want you to go to verse number 9 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Still with me? Say amen. The Bible said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee what? The bride, the Lamb's wife. Hey, if you've been saved, that's your new title. The bride, the Lamb's wife. Look what it says in verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. What is it? The Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Oh, listen to me. One of these days when the Lord comes again. Amen. That's right. He's going to take us to our new Jerusalem, our Holy Jerusalem. And he's going to show us the place he's been preparing for us. Amen. Now, you may not like the transportation. We're going to go on a white horse. Amen. You say, I don't like riding a horse. Well, you may be bow-legged at second event one of these days. But I know one thing. We're going to get out of here one of these days. It's going to be great, isn't it? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a great time. Well, let me give you my simple points tonight. Still with me? Say amen. The Bible tells us that we've got several commands that we're to do while we're waiting for His return. I want you to go to Mark 13:33. Mark 13:33. I'm going to give you three P words tonight that God commands us to do in light of Christ's return. By the way, He's not here yet. Pinch yourself. You're still alive. Amen. You're still here on earth. You're still in the flesh. But the Lord said, hey, I want you to understand that you need to take heed, watch, and what's the next word in verse 33? Mark 13:33. Take heed, watch, and what? Pray. There's the first P word. For you know not when the time has come. Amen. God tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Every day we wake up, we ought to think about Christ's return. God tells us to watch for His return. the time to come. Then he tells us to pray. Oh, how we need to pray. Prayer ought to be in your heart. Prayer ought to be in your life. Prayer ought to be on your minds. Can it be that God's people can be too busy? Can it be that God's people can be too gifted? Can it be that God's people can be too talented to pray? Can it be that while we're serving God, we can be mechanical and not spiritual? Just going through motions, not caring, not thinking. That's why the Lord told us until He comes, He wants us to watch and pray. He wants us to pray because it'll keep our minds right with the book, right with the Savior, right with the Lord. Oh, we need to withdraw ourselves to a place of secret prayer. Amen. Just learn to pray. Get by yourself and learn to pray. It's okay to pray in a group. It's okay to pray with two or three. Amen. It's okay to pray at church when you're called upon, but you need to learn how to pray by yourself. Pray in secret. Oh, learn how to pray. Pray. Pray to find answers. Pray to be forgiven. Pray to find strength. Pray in your leadership. Pray to have humility. We could go on and on. There are a thousand things that we could pray about, and many of them are Bible and biblical. I've known some great men of prayer. I could just stay here all night and tell you the prayer life of great men that I know. One is a man who was stunted in his growth. His name is Dayton Barnes. Dayton Barnes pastored for many, many years in West Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis is across the Mississippi. Then you got West Memphis, Arkansas. That's what it was, Arkansas. And he pastored a little old country church way out in the cotton fields. And I had several revivals with him. But the first time I showed up with my book table. It was many years ago. This is over 25 years ago when I first met him. And I showed up at the church and the parking lot was full of people. And I was there to set my book table up and I said, can I get in for the next few minutes and set my... Oh no, you can't go in right now. I said, is there a reason why I can't go in? He said, oh, Pastor Barnes is in there praying. We don't go in while Pastor Barnes is praying. I said, okay, that's fine with me. I can honor that, no problem at all. And after a while, about 30 minutes later, it was past time to start. He walks out to the double doors, he said, and he called his congregation chillin'. He said, okay, chillin', it's time to start. I've prayed and I've got peace with God, it's time to start the revival meeting. What he did, he laid his body between the double doors. He wouldn't let anybody come through those doors until he got peace with God, that what God wanted in his life for that week would transpire. And oh, he was some kind of prayer warrior. I went soul winning with him. He was stunted in growth, had a back trouble. He had little short legs, and he'd had to have something to stand above the pulpit. He was so short. I'd go soul winning with him. He wouldn't get out of the car. He had walked with two canes. He was bow-legged as could be. And he walked with two canes. And he'd roll his window down. He'd see somebody walking down the street, and he'd bang the side of his car door. Bang, bang, bang. He'd beat that car to death. The side of his door was just beat to a pulp. He said, hey, you, I'm a preacher. My name's Dayton Barnes. He said, come over and see me. He said, I can't walk. He said, come over and see me. And the guy'd come to the window. He'd lead that person to Christ through the window. Man of prayer. He'd pray and pray and pray. Oh, God, help us to learn how to pray. God, help us to have answers to prayer. Amen. This church didn't have a need that couldn't be answered through prayer. Your life didn't have a need that couldn't be answered in prayer. Do you realize nothing gets done without prayer? Honestly, folks, nothing gets done without prayer. Let me give you the second P word. It's found in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said in James 5. Still with me? Say amen. The first thing we're supposed to do while we're waiting on the Lord's return is to be prayerful. The second thing we're supposed to do waiting for the Lord's return is to be patient. It's mentioned twice. Look at verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto what? The coming of the Lord. There's a command. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it until he received the earth. The early and latter rain, The Bible said, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So the second command that I wanted to show you tonight from God's word to us, number one, be prayerful. Number two, he tells us, waiting for Christ's return, we're to be patient. I've been preaching 45 years, and one of the things that keeps me going is to know that Jesus is coming again. But we've got to be patient. We've got to be patient with people's sin and patient with people's problems and their sorrows. We've got to minister to people's needs, and God tells us to be patient. But he said, establish yourself and be patient. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, listen to me. There's got to be a sowing before a reaping. There's got to be a garden before a harvest. A farmer waits for his season to harvest. All kinds of ways to be patient according to the scripture of the Bible. We ought to be patient in hardships. One of these days, all of our hardships are going to fade away when Christ returns. The Bible tells us to be patient in sorrow. Patient in sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. God wants us to be patient in sorrow. One day all the sorrows are going to pass away. Amen. And the Bible says, as we mentioned a while ago, will be no more sorrow. No more sorrow. I mean, I hear bad things every day, things that make me weep, things that make me just brokenhearted. There'll never be that problem in heaven someday. James chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, the Bible said we're to be patient with others. Amen. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do. There's some people, I pray blessings fall like brickbats. The Bible didn't tell me how to pray for them sometimes. Amen. Some of them are just menaces, you know what I mean? And they're hard to live with. But God tells us to be patient with each other. Patient with each other. Let me give you my third P word tonight. Still with me? Say amen. What's the first P word while we're waiting on Jesus? Be prayerful. The second one is what? Be patient. Be patient. I know we're anxious. I know we ask, Lord, why haven't you come? Even John the Revelator said, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Come quickly. We're to be patient. The third one is found in 1 John 3. I started in 1 John in my Sunday school lesson, and I want to end in 1 John. 1 John 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. How many of you know that God loves us? Amen. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it's not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now, when you get saved now. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen to this. And every man that hath this hope in him, what's the P word? Purifieth himself even as he is what? Pure. That means, my friend, we're to be constantly purifying ourselves, waiting on the Lord. While the Lord's coming and we're waiting on his return, God tells us to purify ourselves. How do we do that? A pure speech. How do we do that? Pure thoughts. How do we do that? Pure conduct. How do we do that? Pure heart. Pure mind. Pure life. A clean vessel. I could go on. I could give you verses for them. Listen to me, my friend. We've got a big job to do, and God wants us prepared when he comes. Amen. He wants us pure. The Bible said in 1 John 1:9, the secret for all of that is if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and what? Cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. Amen. We're to be separated. We're to be dedicated. We're to be consecrated. We're to repent. We're to confess. We're to be forgiven. All in the name of purification. God wants us to be pure. And remember, I taught you on Sunday, there's only one way to be pure. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. All through the Bible, the word come is in the word of God.
The book of Genesis, all the way through Revelation, that word come is there. Come. Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God tells us to come. The very last book of the Bible and the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22 and 17, he said, the Spirit and the bride say come. Okay. Who's the Spirit? That's God, the Holy Spirit. That's the triune God. But who's the bride? That's us. The Spirit and the bride. It takes a co-partnership for the winning and working of souls. It takes a co-partnership to get the gospel out. It takes a co-partnership for the preaching of the Word of God. It takes a co-partnership to be a good Christian with the Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say come. The last chapter says come. That was a last invitation, was to come. In Revelation 22:20, you'll find the last promise. The last promise is, I come quickly. You might want to underscore it. I come quickly. There's the promise of his return. I come quickly. And then the last prayer is found in the same verse of the last book, the last chapter, in the last verse. He said in Revelation 22:20, even so, Lord, come Jesus. Oh, listen to me, my friend. We need to be ready for Christ's return. The Lord is at hand. I believe he's never more close than now. And during all of this, I think I've told you, it just feels in my heart we're near the end. I never dreamed in my life I would see and feel what I see and feel right now. But all of my 45 years of preaching, I feel like Jesus is right around the corner. I feel like the end of the church age could be near, could be soon. And all the things I mentioned in my introduction will take place, but we're taken out. We're leaving from here. Let me give you one more scripture. You don't have to turn there, but as an illustration. I want us to picture as the people that wanted to see Jesus pictured him. I want you to notice their attitude. The Bible said in Luke 8 and verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. For, listen, they were all waiting for him. You know why they were excited to see Jesus? They were waiting for him. And we ought to be excited too. Don't lose hope. Don't lose trust. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your excitement. And in the last part of this revival, at the very last near the amen, I want us all to rekindle that fire, that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow really erased. Thank God we're going to see him face to face. Shall we stand, please? Three P words, waiting for Christ. What's one of them? Be what? Prayerful. What's another one? Be patient. What's another one? Be pure. Those are three things on the last night of this invitation that every one of us ought to be on our knees about, just promising the Lord until he comes that we'll be prayerful, patient, and pure. Those are his commands. They're not mine. Those are not my points. Those are his commands for every one of us waiting for Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music in just a few minutes will start. And I'm going to let the pastor come and lead this invitation. But you ought to find your place to kneel. If you can't walk forward, make your pew your altar. You ought to find a place to give God those three promises that you'll keep till Jesus comes again. Prayerful, patient, and pure. God bless you.